Chocolate used to be simple. Milk, semi-sweet, bittersweet, Swiss, Belgian, American. High-end chocolatiers are taking aim at chocolate vulgarians. They're launching unique varieties that rely on different types of cocoa beans to create unique tastes and aftertastes. Their goal is to create a higher chocolate consciousness. NPR's Joanne Silberner discovers what all the fuss is about.
Maybe the best way to gauge the impact of a shift from taste-alike chocolates to complex varieties is a taste test.
Why don't you go ahead and take a seat, and you're in.
Best Sellers is a wine store in Washington, D.C. that caters to people who want to learn more about wine. Lemon yellow lights shine on the bottles of Burgundies, Merlots, Chardonnays, and Pinot Grigios that line the room. The four volunteers at a blonde wood table at the back of the store aren't here to taste wines.
There are all these different kinds of chocolates, uh-huh. And we want people to taste just a little bit. It's, you know, I promise you won't have to eat a pound of it.
Okay.
Tell us what you think of it.
Now, no one is giving out numbers or figures on the impact of these high-end chocolates, but gourmet magazines are buzzing with descriptions. Gourmet chefs are hunting down chocolates with a fruity flavor or a spicy one to fit a particular recipe. El Rey Chocolates caters to the specialty market. The company is banking on people like the ones in our test developing a taste for chocolates made from beans grown on specific plantations in Venezuela. Eric Case is with El Rey.
Now people are really gaining more of a taste for chocolate. It's very similar to what happened with coffee in the 80s, where no one was speaking of the Arabica bean, and now by the end of the 90s, there's a Starbucks on every corner.
Like Eric Case, Maricel Precia wants to see the same thing happen to chocolate. She runs a restaurant in Hoboken, New Jersey, that features chocolate in both the desserts and the main courses. She imports cocoa beans, and she's just written a book, The New Taste of Chocolate. Some members of the Chocolate Cognoscente call her the godfather. Precia takes chocolate very seriously.
The unexamined chocolate is not worth eating.
Like the volunteers at Best Sellers Wine Store, Precia enjoys doing chocolate taste tests. Here's how she describes the flavor of one of her favorite chocolates.
It's like a blooming, like fireworks, raisins, prunes, maybe some jasmine.
At our taste test, the volunteers are about to try one of Precia's favorites.
I want you to take little bits of each of these chocolates, take a little sip of water in between to cleanse your palate, and then I'm going to ask you to tell me which one you like better and why.
Chocolate comes from beans that grow in pods on trees and are then processed into cocoa butter, cocoa liquor, and cocoa. Differences in the beans can lead to differences in the flavor of the final product. So can differences in the level of cocoa butter and chocolate solids in the bar. The higher the percentage of both, the stronger the chocolate flavor. Milk chocolates are generally in the low 40s. Bittersweet chocolates are in the 70% range. But one 70% can differ from another if it uses different cocoa beans. John Scharfenberger makes a 70% chocolate that we're using in the taste test. He blends carefully selected beans to create a specific flavor.
It's wonderful to taste a bean from Ecuador, or a crew from Ecuador, that has this amazing acidity and this really tight fruitiness. Or a bean from Venezuela, an old Criollo clone that has this amazing black cherry flavor. A wonderful Forastero bean from Ghana, which has this sort of depth and richness and this incredible long finish.
Scharfenberger used to make sparkling wine. Then he fell in love with chocolate and developed an expertise in blending.
We use 11 different bean types in our chocolate.
Each bean adds a specific element, like a beginning fruitiness, a mid-palate bitterness, a long sweet finish. But Eric Case of El Rey believes in beans grown in one particular place.
It's all about the land and the region that it comes from. It starts at the soil and the bean.
Now you know what's coming. A showdown. Eric Case is not afraid of Scharfenberger's blends.
I love to put Scharfenberger's 70% right next to our 70% and let people taste the difference.
Back at the wine store, Chelsea went for sample 2B in our taste test, the Scharfenberger, the blend.
2A almost had what 2B had. It started at this kind of bitter, unsweetened taste, but just kind of stopped short, or 2B took it all the way. Like after it was in my mouth for a while, it just came full body and it was just this really bitter, yet a little sweet taste. I don't know. It was just really full bodied chocolate. Mm-hmm.
For Sarah, it's difficult to taste the difference between the two chocolates.
If I told you they were the same, would you believe me?
Chocolate guru Maricel Precia says with the coming of chocolate choice, some education will be necessary.
You will know the name of the beans and you will try to know. You will read about it. And you will know what countries produce the best beans. You will know what regions produce the best beans.
But she says there's no reason to get chocolate anxiety.
I just advise people to, you know, to use their common sense and to relate to the way that they, in which they perceive the world, in which they smell and taste the world around them, because it's not that complicated.
At the chocolate tasting, Chelsea thinks it won't take much work.
I mean, I don't think that I would want to devote time to learning about it, you know, specifically like a textbook type of analysis, but just because I was eating lots of chocolate and happened to become a connoisseur, sure, that would be wonderful.
So Chelsea at least doesn't mind being an accidental connoisseur. The challenge for the chocolate revolutionaries is to recruit others like her to their cause. Joanne Solberner, NPR News, Washington.